At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Nottingham Forest Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. It is time for the Nottingham Forest takeover, the show I look forward to. They are going so well in the Championship this season. Yes, I know they didn't get the result they wanted against Cardiff on the weekend. They still have that game in hand. They still are in fourth position, could be third with that game in hand. So much to play for at the minute. Well, I'm delighted to say I'm once again joined by the brilliant Lee Clark from Nottingham Forest News, which was Seat Pitch, of course. Lee, there is so much to talk about in a week of news. Obviously, the FA Cup draw, we will get to that. But it was Cardiff on the weekend. It was at home. It just wasn't to be because Cardiff maintained that unbeaten start under new man Neil Harris. Something of a new manager bounce for them.
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing. I come on here most weeks and always come up with a little stat.
I know.
And it's finally coming bit me on the backside, so to speak. Cardiff have obviously travelled to Forest having not won away all season. Lo and behold, they went and won away and kept a clean sheet at the City Ground. So it's just sod's law, and again, it just epitomises the Championship.
Yeah, it does, you know. Teams get this new manager bounce, and stats like that, you know, haven't won away from home, and Forest are doing so well and at the City Ground. But not that it all counts for nothing, but in this division, you can't take that for granted and go, oh, we should be okay then, because there's no such thing as a banker or anything concrete in that league.
No, that's right. And you mentioned the new manager bounce. I don't even think it was so much that. I think on another day, we could have scored two or three goals.
Mm.
But when you have 30 shots and only register two of them on target, it's easy to see where the problem lies. We practically gave Neil Etheridge in the Cardiff goal the afternoon off. You know, but for some wayward finishing, a couple might have dropped in the top corner, or, you know, we just needed one to go off someone's backside and fall in the corner of the net, to be honest.
Yeah, because you had them, you know, you were dominant for long, long spells in the game. And you have to look at the stats. I mean, we're talking 69% possession, nearly 70. But you look at it and you almost think, oh, I think they've got that wrong. 32 shots, is that correct? And then when you see the next one under it and you go shots on target, you see two from 32 and you're thinking, where were they shooting?
Yeah, it's really strange because what the situation was, we're not used to having the ball. So we expected when Cardiff had the half-time lead, we thought Neil Harris's message would be to go and get the second and kill the game off. And it literally wasn't. I think all he said at half-time was just go out and give them the ball straight back. Because it was almost like Neil Harris knew he wouldn't know what to do with it. And he was spot on. We were getting into wide areas. We were trying to whip balls over and they were falling at the near post or going out the other side for a throw-in. And we just weren't used to having... We're used to sitting and letting the other team have the ball, then hitting them on the counter. But Neil Harris wanted his side to almost, you know, hit it route one, give it back to our centre-backs and let them start again. And that's going to be a bit of a conundrum now for our manager to try and get us playing when we are behind.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dilemma also because, you know, teams will look at your previous results, watch the film tape, you know, and see the games from past so they can work on it. I don't want to say going off completely one game, but if you're mentioning that Nottingham Forest stumbled a little bit, having too much possession, are you saying that maybe Cardiff, there's a blueprint to beat Forest and they've got it done and that's what other teams will look to do?
Well, I mean, the blueprint only works if they come and score and get the goal. What teams have struggled to do against us this season is get that first goal.
Yeah.
I still maintain that if we go and score a first goal in any game, we showed against QPR. I know we played against 10 men for a large part of that game, but they didn't really look like, you know, getting back into the contest once we got that first goal after about 15 minutes. I mean, it's one of those. Yeah, I suppose it is a little bit of a blueprint, but teams know that they're going to have to be pretty useful in the final third to get to put one past us. They've got Nathaniel Mendes-Lang, and he's swung the left foot at one, and luckily for him, it's gone in the bottom corner. If teams can do that against us, then, yeah, Neil Harris's blueprint is the one to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Lamucci, after the game, saying, look, we've created so much, but we have to be more clinical. We have to be efficient with the chances that we created in the game. Me and you spoke last week, Lee, obviously, about... You know, Lamucci in that time away, he was spotted, you know, watching other games going off and looking at other clubs, maybe scouting for those January transfer targets. But he's kind of come out and addressed it, saying he's happy, he loves the fans and he doesn't want to go anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, with the manager and everything, we hope he's here for a long time.
Yeah.
We've thrown enough mud in recent years and finally it looks like something's stuck. It's perhaps not the avenue that we thought would be the one that we'd choose and stick with in the end. But, you know, he's done a good job, and we lost last week and we stayed fourth. So, again, it's just the freaky nature of the Championship.
Yeah, as we've played down speculation of a new deal, but someone who did sign a new deal was Ryan Yates. What do you make and and how happy are the Forest fans about that?
Yeah, ecstatic. When we produce our own players, it's always nice to tie them down and avoid them going to the, you know, the clutches of the Premier League. But Yates is one of those players. He's still got a lot to learn in the position he plays. You don't want to curb the enthusiasm too much, because then you create a completely different player. But we saw with the sending off at Bristol City, he's still a little bit naive, a little bit raw. But I'm sure Lamucci is the manager to get him on the straight and narrow, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was other news away from the matches and on pitch matters. There was the FA Cup third round draw this week, and Nottingham Forest, well, they've drawn the big gun. It is Chelsea. What did you make of that?
Oh, it's a little bit boring, to be honest. Nothing against Chelsea. It's just because we had exactly the same tie at this stage last year. It was Aitor Karanka's last game in charge of Forest last year. I suppose the added incentive this time is it's a certain Frank Lampard in the dugout at Chelsea these days. So
yeah, true.
We all know that hopefully he might have a team capable of actually putting a goal past us nowadays. He didn't at Derby, but, you know, we'll see. I suppose that adds a little bit of spice to it, but I just think it's a bit of a... It's kind of a good draw on paper, but because we played them last year, we'd have liked maybe a Man United or a Liverpool instead, just to mix it up and freshen it up a bit.
Yeah, because you already had Arsenal in the League Cup this year, didn't you? Coming down to London. But does it change it? When you get opposition like that, you think, oh, God, you know, you want the big boys, you want the away days, you want the day out and so forth. But then you get Chelsea and you're like, you know what, I would have liked a little cup run. Now, I know, look, that there's only one aim here. There's only one priority. That is to get promoted from the Championship. But the cup run, sometimes you want a little progression, and that can help galvanise and spark the team to continue their league form.
Yeah, I think it can. I think the only trouble with the FA Cup is the first fixture for the Championship clubs tends to come on the back of a really heavy, taxing run of fixtures. So if you are in and around the top 10, let's say, you kind of don't really want the cup run. You'd rather be resting your best players, you know, getting back to the one Saturday to the next Saturday and resting your players, telling the grabbins and the cashers to get the feet up and get ready for the next game. So it's one of them. You either want a really, really big team away, which we've got, or you want a lower league club at home so that you can still rest players and hopefully still progress to the next round. So I suppose in that sense, we have got an ideal draw, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lee, just quickly on that league form, you probably think I'm asking the same questions every week, and we'd always talk about the Championship being that cliche, you know, it's up and it's down. You get great runs, then you have those barren spells, and that is the league, of course. But it just feels like this year, more than most, I don't know if you can agree with me on this, that no one's really setting it alight. No one's really breaking away. I know there's a bit of a gap now developing with West Brom and Leeds, but apart from that, no one's going on these 5, 6, 7, 8 games. Everyone's winning 2 or 3, then having this odd little slip up to Cardiff. It just feels like no one can just put together a sustained spell of success.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that I did kind of say that to someone on social media this week. I mean, people were panicking after the Cardiff game, but we've lost and we've stayed fourth. So that kind of indicates to you that
Well, Preston have lost three on the bounce. It's what's going on at the minute.
It's just such a strange league, and it, like you say, it just proves that no one's running away with it. Teams can have sort of one, as long as they're losing kind of one or two in every six games, and they're still staying in the top six. And while that's the case, and the Forest are nicely poised at the moment, we're going into a big run of fixtures. Obviously, in a month's time, we'll know a little bit more accurately, perhaps, where we're going to finish. But we're up there. I mean, if you'd have said to us, we're going into the Christmas period and we're fourth in the Championship after some of the rubbish we had to watch last season, particularly at the second half of the season, most Forest fans would have snapped your arm off. Considering we've had new players to blend into the team, we signed 12 in the summer. Obviously, Worrell's come back from Rangers and he's gone straight in. So our back four is almost a completely different back four, back five if you include the goalkeeper. So to change all that and still be where we are is pretty remarkable, I think.
Yeah, and you've got a new manager, his first season in English football. There's a lot of transitional stuff happening at Forest at the minute, but you are still fourth. You mentioned that you was having this conversation back and forth on social media. We all do it. But was there a little bit of a fan reaction, a knee-jerk reaction after this one loss and going, oh, here we go, we're getting to, you know, the winter months, the Christmas period, and it's all going to go downhill?
Yeah, it's one of those. The social media trolls, as I like to call them, are usually the worst. I think the support we've been getting on the road at away games and in the City Ground at home has been fantastic. So I can't knock those, but there is the odd couple that, oh, are we sussing Lamucci out? Do teams know how to beat us? And it is the nail on the head, knee jerk. There's just no need for it. One defeat, a game we probably should have won. It was a learning curve for us. That's all it was. Like I say, we lost and stayed fourth, and it was our first defeat in four. So if we go on the next four games, starting tomorrow night and have another four games where we don't lose, we'll should still be nicely poised inside the top six.
Yeah, absolutely, and you've got that game in hand. Well, we're going to look towards that game tomorrow night with Millwall. It is away down in London. We're going to be talking to Sam Straw. But Lee, thank you so much for joining us and giving us some time on the Nottingham Forest Fan Show. Next up, it is Lee's mate, his partner in crime. It is Sam Straw joining us.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Nottingham Forest Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we just heard from Lee Clark there, always the man in the know, so insightful about Nottingham Forest. Well, now we get two for the price of one. His partner in crime is Sam Straw, also from Nottingham Forest News. Sam, obviously, we just heard Lee's thoughts on it. I want to look towards the game, not only tomorrow night, but the game on Tuesday, because we get to speak on Thursdays. Two games for us to look at, but just quickly, your thoughts on the disappointing loss to Cardiff on the weekend.
Yeah, obviously it was very disappointing to lose our third home game of the season. But I was at the game and it just felt like one of those games where, you know, after about 10 minutes, it just felt like it was going to be one of those days. And unfortunately, yeah, it proved to be a disappointing defeat. But hopefully we can bounce back tomorrow night.
Yeah, 100% obviously against Millwall. Just quickly on that, you mentioned the third defeat at home this season. And I know speaking to you guys on the show, you know, the one thing that you wanted to improve, if we could improve, is just that home form. The away form has been slightly better. Why is it these odd results at the minute? Because it is the odd one, because you are going so well in the Championship. Why are these odd ones happening at the City Ground?
I think it's just because of the way Lamucci's got his set up. I think we're more favoured to, you know, that kind of away game setup to play on the counter attack with the players we've got. And I think sometimes at home, when we have physical sides like Cardiff, and we saw earlier in the season with Preston, when you have these physical sides, you come to City Ground, and if they're lucky enough to get the first goal, they can just make life very difficult for us and kind of sit back, and that doesn't give us the same amount of space as we have in away games to attack sides and really put them to a sword. So I think that's the main reason we're struggling in some home games this season. But we're going to need to find a way to kind of cope with that moving forward, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam, I'm always across all of your articles on Nottingham Forest news. We mentioned it with Lee, 32 shots, only two on target, needing that goal threat. You reporting that Nottingham Forest do have interest in Crystal Palace striker Connor Wickham.
Yes, yeah, I saw that report in the Telegraph earlier today. I'm not sure really what to make of it, really. I know he's only made two appearances in the Premier League for Palace this season, but obviously he does have a fair bit of experience playing in the Championship before, because he was on loan at Sheffield Wednesday twice a couple of years ago, and he had a short spell at Leeds. So it's just one of those where, I know people have been speaking about Dwight Gayle in the last couple of weeks, but I think Newcastle want about $15 million for him. And I think Connor Wickham is apparently potentially available on loan in January. So it just could be one of those things where maybe if you get Wickham on a loan until the end of the season, you know, it's kind of a low-risk deal. And it could, you know, you never know, it could prove to be a good one. If he just came, even if he scored about, you know, between five and ten goals, it could make all the difference in the second half of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned that he's not really getting game time at Palace. You know, it's weird. They signed him to a new deal when he was injured, you know, showed him that level of support, but then he's never really got a first team action. It would be ideal for him, really, if he was to come to a club like Forest, get minutes and, you know, and be part of a promising side and what's looking to have a new exciting chapter.
Yeah, that's it. When I was doing my research earlier, I think Palace paid about $7 million for him, so it seems a bit strange how he hasn't really had much game time there. But as you say, it would be a bit of a risk considering the lack of football he's played, because it might take him a few weeks to actually, you know, get fully match fit and ready for the demands of the Championship. But if he was able to quickly get himself match fit, it could prove to be a really good deal. You just never know those sort of things. And if it's just a short term loan, there wouldn't be much risk. It wouldn't be like the equivalent of us buying Dwight Gayle for $15 million and it doesn't work out and you kind of stuck with him. At least if we had him on a short term deal, he could always go back at the end of the season if it didn't work out.
Yes, it's a good point. Well, it is Millwall tomorrow night. It was a disappointing result on the weekend to Cardiff, and we said, you know, Cardiff have a new man in charge, new manager Bantz. Well, it's exactly the same. Maybe Forest don't want to hear that or know that, but Millwall hiring Gary Rowett, they've been going well under him. Obviously, they lost, I think they're unbeaten in four games since he took over. Now you play them on Friday night. What are you making of this?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game. I think I was looking the other day and I think Millwall have got one of the best home records in the division. And obviously, as you say, they've been going well under Rowett so far. So I'm expecting a tough game. But obviously, last time we went to London in an away game a week or so ago, we beat QPR 4-0. So if you can somehow replicate that sort of performance, then
yeah,
I'd still be confident of us getting a good result and getting back to winning ways after the disappointment of last weekend.
Yeah, obviously they are on that new manager bounce, but they're a lot more better foundation. You touched upon it there than QPR. QPR absolutely shipping goals and Forest found that out. But where are the challenges that lie in this game tomorrow night?
I think it's just the kind of the physical nature Millwall have, kind of in a similar vein to kind of Cardiff and Preston. I think if And they've got two massive centre-halves, which will probably make life difficult for Grabham. So I think we've just got to remain patient and kind of stick to our game plan. I think that the massive thing, which has been the case for most of our games this season, is just getting the first goal. I think if we can get the first goal tomorrow night, I'd fancy us. But if we do go 1-0 behind, it could be a tough night, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting there running results. It's a good result beating Cheltenham, but Cheltenham were worthy of a draw there. Then they went away to Swansea, beat them. Swansea, I know they're having a mini slump at the minute. And then home to Wigan. Wigan aren't been doing great, but then going away to Birmingham, always a tricky place to go. It is a tough one. You don't really know what to expect from a Millwall side, but I know Lamucci will want to have his men bounce back from that. And normally, when we've seen Forest have a blip, you've normally gone on a run and done exactly that. So how do you think this will play out, and what is your score prediction on that knowledge, Sam?
Yeah, obviously it's difficult to predict. I mean, their results do seem to be a bit all over the place this season, but I think it is all about us on the night. I think if we perform to the way we can, I think we're more than capable of getting the win. I think our squad's better than theirs on paper, especially this season. So I'm hoping we can get back to winning ways, and I'm going to be confident and go with a 2-0 away win.
Oh, and a clean sheet as well. 2-0 yeah. Away win. I love it, Sam. Yeah, be bold. Why not? I love it. Well, we get to do a little... we get to double down here because we get to speak on a Thursday, but you've got another game on Tuesday. This time you're at home in action to Middlesbrough. They're in action to Cheltenham on the weekend. Cheltenham no win in 7, so maybe perfect game for Middlesbrough, so they might get a bit of momentum going into Tuesday. But this is another game, not just to a great chance because Middlesbrough are down there to get the points, but to put that home form back on track. It'll want a reaction in this game regardless of the Millwall result tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really, really important game, especially with how the home form's been this season. I think Middlesbrough at the moment are probably one of the teams completely out of form at the moment. I know they lost 4-0 at Leeds the other day. So that's a massive opportunity for us to kind of put the doubts of our home form behind us and kind of get a nice, convincing home win. Obviously, it's a return of the Sombolongo again with Middlesbrough as well. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. But yeah, that is important to win that game, whatever happens tomorrow night, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you mentioned, we know Forest have got this game in hand, but they don't want to, and they lost on the weekend, but the teams around them lost. So they're still in a great position and they've got their game in hand. They would hate to maybe lose more grand and then their game in hand, rather than it helping them to get up to second, they need it to, get back into that top six. They want to use it to their advantage more than slipping further down, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everyone's going to lose games in the Championship because that's just how it is. You're always going to get games like we had last weekend against Cardiff where it's just not your day. But the key is just to make sure those defeats don't turn into like a longer slump, and hopefully we can put things right and get back to winning ways tomorrow. And then, as you say, just stay in the mix until after Christmas. And then when we have the game in hand in January, hopefully we're still in a good position and it can be of a real benefit to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it starts tomorrow night against Millwall, the Friday night game. Sam, always a pleasure to have you on the Nottingham Forest show. Sam Strawder, again, from Nottingham Forest News. You have to check out Sam and Lee's stuff. Their articles are brilliant. Keeping you in the know with your team, as we do on Love Sport Radio. It's your team, your voice. We want you to have your say, giving the fans a voice, giving you all the issues at the club. Such a big game. They kick off all the action this week because it is the Friday night game. Ooh, Friday night lights. Are they going to get a result? Millwall have the new manager bounce. Forest wants to bounce back from that Cardiff game. It's going to be a big one. Where will we discuss it? Next week on the Nottingham Forest Fan Show, as we always do. We review it either way. Win, lose or draw is what we do on Love Sport Radio. We will see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.